Good morning. I hope you were reminded this week of the things for which you are thankful. For instance, that Christmas is coming up. Or maybe you were thankful for Ghostbusters on Thursday. I don't know. But there are many things to be grateful for, and Lisa and I are certainly grateful for many things. We have a new member that we want to recognize this morning. So we ask Jessica Seeley, if you would stand, please. Jessica, her daughter Megan. Her husband Ryan is not here with her this morning, but they want to be recognized as members with us, and we're very excited for that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are thankful for so many things. This great land in which we live, this great church in which we are a part, your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. We're thankful for your great love for us that does endure forever. And as we think about the blessings that you've given us, reflect upon that this morning, I ask your blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. It was a cool fall morning when Malachi walked outside to check on the sheep in their pens. His son was to have brought them in last night and put them away, but it's not that he doesn't trust his son, but he is just a boy. And boys can get distracted, as he has recently been distracted by Bethuel's daughter. Immediately, when he walked outside, he could see that something was not quite right. The gate to the sheep pen was broken, and yet the sheep were all inside, and laying across the gate was his 11-year-old son, fast asleep, making himself the gate for the sheep. He puffed out his chest a little bit and walked back to the house. His wife was outside with the fire going, preparing their morning meal, and she came to greet him. "We are indeed blessed, Zariah," he said. "Adonai has given us these 7 sons and 3 daughters, and all of them make us so proud. Did you know that Tobias is out there right now making himself the gate for the sheep in the sheep pen? 11 years old. He makes me so proud." "Yes," she replied. "Adonai has been abundantly gracious to us. Here now, come and eat your breakfast." And as he ate, thoughts of business swirled through Malachi's mind. Tobias had been late because, well, he had to go over the hills to find good pasture. It is a long journey for a young boy. If only he could buy that land down by the wadi. There is good pasture down there. Malachi had dreamed of this land for quite some time. It belonged to his 3rd cousin, who was quite lazy and never used the land. But do you think his cousin would let him graze there? Not on your life, nor would he sell it. Malachi often thought about that land down by the wadi. He thought about ways he could convince his cousin to sell it to him. In his worst moments, he even thought about ways he could take the land from his cousin. But he would never actually do such things. And so Malachi sat and ate his meal in silence. His wife's voice, however, broke the silence. "Thinking about that land down by the wadi again, aren't you, Malachi?" She knew her husband so well. She knew that he worried about their family. She knew that he had desires for expansion. "Come," she said, "recite some words from the Torah for me before we begin our day." Malachi leaned back in thoughtfulness, then looked at Zariah and gave her a wink. "Here is a word from the Torah," he said. "Be fruitful and multiply." "Ha!" she exclaimed. "You follow that one well enough." Malachi just smiled. "I have one," she said. "It is from Deuteronomy. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when you your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." "What are you saying to me, woman?" he said to his wife. "Come outside with me, my husband," she said. They stood out front, seeing the mist rising off of the hills. And Zariah said to Malachi, "What is it you see, my husband?" Malachi knew it was a trap. He just didn't know what kind of trap. So he stood looking at the hills, trying to determine the least dangerous answer. Finally, he quipped, "I see the same thing as you, my love. I see hills with mist rising off of them." "No," she said, "you see blessing upon blessing. You see the hills that the Lord has given you. You see a son sleeping in the door of the sheep pen. You see large flock of sheep resting secure. Now, my husband, look into your heart and tell me what you see." Malachi could see this trap clearly. He knew what was in his heart. It was discontentment. He knew that he should be thankful for what he had, but he was in fact not thankful. But rather than confess it and give his wife the joy of springing the trap, he said, "Well, I see goodness and thankfulness in my heart," he replied with a grin. "I see a heart that is so full that it is about to explode." "You know very well that that is not what you see, you ungrateful sheep herder," she said with a voice that he had heard too many times before. And Malachi lowered his head down to his chest and was quiet. And after a few moments, he raised his head and said, "As always, my dear, you are right." Then with a crooked finger pointed at her husband's nose, Zariah began the lecture that he had heard before. "Adonai gave our people this wonderful land, cities we did not build, and houses we did not build, and vineyards we did not plant. What, my husband, did you do to deserve any of this?" Malachi stood looking at her in silence. Then she went into the house and she began baking, and Malachi went out to the sheep pen to select one of the finest. Later that day, they made their way to the priest to make their offering before the Lord, a fellowship offering. Scripture describes it this way: "These are the regulations for the fellowship offering anyone may present to the Lord, if they offer it as an expression of thankfulness. Then along with the thank offering," I think I skipped one, "then along with the thank offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with olive oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour, well kneaded and with oil mixed in. Along with the fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. They are to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who splashes the blood of the fellowship offering against the altar. The meat of their fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it till morning." We could probably all relate to Malachi, can't we? We've been given so much, and yet sometimes it's still not quite enough. Last year, I bought myself a new car, had it for a year now, and this car is so wonderful because I keep the key fob in my pocket, and I just go over and I put my hand inside the door handle. I don't even have to push any buttons. I just push my hand in there, and it unlocks. Impressive, isn't it? But now I'm so used to that, I'm so spoiled by that, I take my wife's car to get the oil changed, and to unlock it, I have to actually push the button on the door handle. My thumb is getting so tired. It is so much work. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because maybe the dog chewed the remote to the TV, and you have to get up and walk over to the television and change the channel. 10 feet! Both directions. It is such a travesty. And then, worse than all of that is you bought the vegetables at the store, but they're the wrong kind. They're not the microwavable kind. You have to actually get a pot out and dump them into a pot and cook them on the stove. How in the world are you expected to play Words with Friend while your vegetables are cooking when you have to actually pay attention to them on the pot? And then on top of all of that, speaking of Words with Friends, your phone. It's taking so long to load up Words with Friends now. It takes like a half a second or something. It just takes so long. And you've had this phone for 6 months. You probably need to get a new phone. And maybe you need to get a new carrier as well, because you're not really getting great service. I mean, on the 25 acres in the front of the land, you're doing really well. But on the 100 acres out back, you're not getting such great service back there. So you're probably going to need to change carriers. Speaking of which, that's really not enough land. Well, I mean, you can still have that noise from the FM, the Farm to Market Road out there. And the trophy deer always seem to be over on the neighbor's parcel of land, so you don't quite have enough. And then you have to pay the taxes on all of that land that you have. And that's what you get out of government, right? More and more taxes. I mean, we've got freedom. Yes, freedom to vote and freedom to move about if you like to move about and go places, freedom to practice our religion, freedom to bear arms and shoot those things that are running around out there, and freedom to speak up if you don't like something. But other than that, our country is a mess. All those freedoms. We have all manner of things, and yet we find ourselves discontented often, don't we? And we have good reasons to be unhappy, because a lot of people are telling us that we aren't happy. But we would be happy if we would buy their product, right? But no sooner do we buy their product and we become happy because we have their product, that we need an upgrade of their product because, well, they go out of style, right? They don't work so well anymore. And what makes it worse is our neighbors always have new stuff. And, well, we look at their new stuff and say, why shouldn't I have new stuff? I mean, we sort of deserve new stuff as well, don't we? If I had new stuff like my neighbors have, then I'd be happy. And maybe I'd be happy if I have the romance that I see in the on the television and in the movies. Maybe I need an upgrade there as well. But then you might find that it's not really an upgrade. And then I look on Facebook, and I see all the cool things that my friends are doing out there, and all the fun things that they're doing, and all I'm doing is working and paying the bills. Why can't I do cool things? Life is such a drudgery. There's nothing for which to be thankful, is there? If only I had such and such. You could fill in the blank yourself, right? If only I had, or if only I could do such and such. Yes. If only you had a terminal illness. If only you felt overwhelmed suddenly with financial problems. If only you lost all of your rights. If only you were oppressed by the government. If only you hurt all the time. If only one of your children died. If only cuts both ways, doesn't it? If only I had something more, but if only I had something less as well. If anyone had a right to talk about if only, it was the guy sitting on death row. If you're sitting on death row, what is it you think about anyway? What would I do if I were out of this place? You might think about all those things that you had before you were in there, and how life could have been different if things had gone a little differently. Or what happens now that I'm going to die? What happens after I die? Well, we don't have to wonder what this death row guy was thinking about while he was waiting to die. He wrote letters to his friends to describe what he was thinking about. In one of those letters, he wrote these words: I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is in to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether living in plenty or in want. A thankful heart is a contented heart. And the Apostle Paul knew of the things that he had been given and been blessed with. So I've asked the teenagers to help us out with this a little bit this morning. They've got some forms. If you guys would just start passing these forms out. And as they pass them out, I will point out to you that there are four lines on the top that are completely blank. Do not put anything on those four lines just yet. You don't need to put your name on there. You know who you are, right? So get your form. They've got some writing utensils, pens for you. Okay? You'll see the numbers 1 to 10. Now, in those numbers 1 to 10 where there's lines, I want you to write down there some things for which you were thankful. Again, you're leaving the top four lines blank, but 1 to 10, you're writing down some things for which you are thankful. Okay? You may not get all the way through this. You can finish this out maybe later, but I'll give you some possibilities of things you might write in there as we go along. You might write, I am thankful for Jesus Christ. I am thankful for family. I'm thankful for my pet, whether it's a dog, a fish, or an iguana, whatever it is. I'm thankful for the house that I live in. I'm thankful for my car. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for the country in which I live. Maybe you might say, I'm thankful for my health. Or if you're not in good health, you could say, I'm thankful for the doctors that are helping me. I'm thankful for my favorite blanket or your favorite shirt or something like that. Dirty dishes because you have dirty dishes because you had plenty to eat. I'm thankful for my washer or for my dryer. How would you like to be doing all that by hand, huh? The cell phone? The iPad? Chico sticks. That might be something you could be thankful for, right? I'm thankful for sunrises. Again, you don't have to do mine. I'm just giving you some examples. I'm thankful for sunsets. I'm thankful for pine trees. I'm thankful for clean water. I'm thankful for clean air. I'm thankful for freedom. I'm thankful for freedom in Christ. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for tacos, which is not close to the Holy Spirit, but you still can be thankful for them. I'm thankful for lakes, the smell of fresh baked apple pie. Thankful for baseball. I'm thankful for deserts. And I'm thankful for desserts. Thankful for police officers. I'm thankful for good movies. I'm thankful for love. I'm thankful for jewelry. I'm thankful for art. I'm thankful for education. I'm thankful for laughter. I'm thankful for s'mores, for hope. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for root beer, for church, for mountains, for coffee. Oh, coffee. All right, so you've got your list. I'm hoping maybe you didn't finish filling it out. You can do that maybe later when you get home. But now I want to bring your attention to the top four lines. Here's what I want you to write in the top four lines. You ready? If only others had these things. If only others had these things. We spend a lot of time ourselves thinking about, if only I had something else. What if people had what you already have? What blessings might they think they have in their lives? Now I challenge you to take this home and you can tape it to your mirror in your bathroom or maybe put it on the dash in your car. Maybe through the whole month of December, just take note of all these things that you've been blessed with. If only other people had the things that you have. A grateful heart or a thankful heart is a contented heart. And we are blessed immensely people. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for really innumerable blessings. We've listed 10 this morning. But there are so many others we could list, and we know that there are so many around the world who do not enjoy the things that we enjoy, who do not enjoy the physical blessings that we enjoy, and do not enjoy the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Father, we'd ask that you would help us to be grateful. And then we'd be those people that would share with those around us in the community and around the world. Help us to share our physical blessings and help us, Father, to share our spiritual blessings, to care for our neighbors in such a way that we would do that. Thank you again for all that you've done and for all that you are. It's your Son we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.